news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The United States keeps breaking records in a truly horrible way. On Tuesday, the U.S. recorded 3,725 deaths due to COVID-19. One of those 3,725 Americans who died from the coronavirus yesterday is Luke Letlow. The 41-year-old, otherwise healthy man with no underlying conditions, was supposed to be sworn in this Sunday as a freshman congressman representing Louisiana's 5th District. Back in October, Letlow warned that we'd be in grave danger if we didn't open the economy back up.
While we've been cautious, and I think both at the state and federal level, I think we've taken numerous precautions with COVID-19. We are now in a place where if we do not open our economy, we're in real danger.
Congressman-elect Letlow, who was married and had two small children, announced on December 18th that he had tested positive for COVID. He was hospitalized in Shreveport, Louisiana the next day and tweeted on December 21st that he was thankful for the continued outpouring of prayers and support and that he was confident that with the help of doctors, he would be on the mend soon. He was transferred to the intensive care unit after his condition worsened, and again, he is now dead. Game of Thrones warned, winter is coming. Well, winter is here, and medical experts are warning the rest of us it will be, quote, awful. One epidemiologist said the U.S. is now past the point of waves and spikes and is in the middle of a, quote, viral tsunami. The new COVID-19 variant, first found in the U.K., has also made it to the U.S., with one case recorded in Colorado and another suspected case hovering out there. The new variant spreads more quickly than the original, but apparently does not appear to be more deadly. So we got that going for us. But first, back in D.C. on Tuesday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell twice blocked Democratic efforts to get a vote on boosting the forthcoming stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000, despite demands from Trump and opposition from some prominent congressional Republicans. First, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer tried to get unanimous consent.
Will Senate Republicans stand against the House of Representatives, the Democratic majority in the Senate, and the president of their own party to prevent these $2,000 checks from going out the door? We're about to get the answers to these questions.
Is there objection to the modification?
Objection.
Objection is heard.
That's McConnell objecting. Then Bernie Sanders suggested only voting on the NDAA veto with an assurance that they'll then take up the Cash Act. Again,
the leaders of our country, President Trump, President-elect Biden, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, are all in agreement. We have got to raise that direct payment to $2,000. So that is where we are right now in this historic moment. Do we turn our backs on struggling working families, or do we respond to their pain?
Is there objection to the request for modification?
Objection.
Objection is heard.
Mitch McConnell then started the process of introducing legislation that would combine a few of Trump's other priorities into one giant poison pill that Democrats would be highly unlikely to pass. These other policy requests include a repeal of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which affords social media companies some online liability protections, and the establishment of a commission to study voter fraud. As it now stands, the $600 stimulus checks included in the bill Trump signed over the weekend are scheduled to go out soon. But ultimately, the 116th Congress comes to an end this Sunday, and it could do so without any decision on additional funds or relief. But don't count Bernie Sanders out just yet. As Bernie discussed with Ali Velshi on MSNBC Tuesday night, he doesn't think the Senate should be going anywhere until they vote on the Cash Act. There's always the filibuster.
My plan is not complicated. The House did the right thing by, as you indicated, over a two-thirds bipartisan vote. They voted to increase the $600 direct payment to $2,000 for every working class adult in this country. And that is the right thing to do. So my plan is pretty simple, is to demand that Mitch McConnell allow the United States Senate to vote up or down on that legislation that was passed by the House. And if McConnell allows that to happen, and if we get the 60 votes, and I think we have a shot to do that, we are going to bring massive relief to tens of millions of families in this country who today are struggling. They're worried about eviction. They're worried about feeding their kids. They're worried about being able to go to the doctor. Intense suffering out there. This legislation would help very significantly and give people some hope as we end this very, very terrible year.
So the Senate is set to reconvene Wednesday afternoon at 3 Eastern. Why so late? I don't know. With a quorum call set for 5. After that, we'll be paying attention. Meanwhile, health officials are concerned about the slow rollout of tens of millions of vaccine doses. The federal government's Operation Warp Speed promised repeatedly that 20 million doses would be administered before the 1st of January.
We will deliver 100 million doses of a safe vaccine before the end of the year. It may be quite a bit sooner than that.
We expect to have approximately 40 million doses by the end of this year. So that would allow us to vaccinate 20 million people in December.
Overall, in the month of December, between the two vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, we expect to have immunized 20 million our American people and keeping 20 million doses for their second immunization a few weeks later.
They sure talk a good game, but talk is cheap and people are dying. In reality, only 11 million doses of the vaccine have even been distributed, and just over 2 million have actually been given to people. Filling the giant leadership void left by the golfing grifter still occupying the office for 3 more weeks, Joe Biden once again spoke to the American people on Tuesday, sharing the sad, frightening truth about where we stand in relation to the virus.
Even if we boost the speed of vaccinations to 1 million shots a day, it will still take months to have the majority of the United States population vaccinated. I've directed my team to prepare a much more aggressive effort with more federal involvement and leadership to get things back on track. We'll find ways to boost the pace of vaccinations. But as Dr. Fauci and others have stated these past few days, this will take more time than anyone would like and more time than the promises from the Trump administration have suggested. This is going to be the greatest operational challenge we've ever faced as a nation. But we're going to get it done. But it's going to take a vast new effort. It's not yet underway.
Biden then said that he would invoke the Defense Production Act to ramp up production of materials needed for the vaccines. The law, enacted in 1950, gives the president the power to compel companies to produce and distribute supplies. Biden said that the Trump administration has yet to fully scale up testing, saying, quote, "That's a travesty," and took aim at its vaccine distribution efforts that were also lagging behind what had been promised. Add on to that, that Trump's transition team hasn't exactly been helpful, at first refusing to even share information with them about distribution, claiming that there was a plan, even though when finally he was part of the discussions, Biden revealed, quote, "There is no detailed plan that we've seen anyway as to how you get the vaccine out of a container into an injection syringe into somebody's arm." He added, quote, "The Trump administration's plan to distribute vaccines is falling behind, far behind, as I long feared and warned. The effort to distribute and administer the vaccine is not progressing as it should." While the thin-skinned orange man, Donald Trump, who has yet to even speak with the president-elect, tweeted at him that, quote, "It is up to the states to distribute the vaccines once brought to the designated areas by the federal government. We have not only developed the vaccines," no, you haven't, "including putting up money to move the process along quickly, but gotten them to the states." Biden failed with the swine flu, rounds out that tweet. Actually, Joe Biden was not in charge of the Obama administration's response to H1N1 in 2009, which, by the way, broke out 3 months after Obama took office. Regardless, Biden finished up his information-packed but very quick 10-minute-long address by warning that we are behind where we need to be and breaking with the Trump administration, warning that things are going to get much worse before they get better. The spike in infections, along with the fallout from holiday gatherings, means we're going to be seeing lots of cases in January and high death tolls in February.
We need to be honest. The next few weeks and months are going to be very tough, a very tough period for our nation. Maybe the toughest during this entire pandemic. I know it's hard to hear, but it's the truth. As Roosevelt said, I think the American people can take whatever we tell them if we tell them straight from the shoulder. We need to steel our spines for what's ahead. We need to follow even more closely the recommendations to slow the spread of the virus. And each of us needs to do what we can to protect ourselves, our families, and our fellow Americans. We're going to get through this. Brighter days are coming, but it's going to take all the grit and determination we have as Americans to get it done.
And then there were three. The UK on Wednesday became the first country in the world to approve a coronavirus vaccine created by Oxford University and pharmaceutical giant AstraZeneca. The developers said they hoped it will become the vaccine for the world because of its low cost and ease of storage. This vaccine uses normal refrigeration, while the other vaccines currently in use require ultra-cold storage. A separate trial on this vaccine is still underway here in the U.S. From the "We really need a functioning Justice Department" department, the Louisville, Kentucky Metro Police Department on Tuesday moved to fire the officers who fired the shot that killed Breonna Taylor and who got a judge's approval to raid her home. Huh? Yeah, Detective Miles Cosgrove, who fired the fatal shot, and Detective Joshua Janes, who prepared the search warrant, had been reassigned pending the investigation. So let's get this straight. In June, a third detective, Brett Hankinson, was the only one indicted over the incident because he shot into the wall and some of his bullets entered a neighbor's apartment. He was indicted, the only charge that arose out of the episode. But the one who killed Breonna Taylor, he might be fired? Seriously? In another sickening travesty of justice, the so-called Justice Department said it would file no criminal charges in the 2014 police killing of Tamir Rice, a black 12-year-old who was playing with a toy gun. Joe Biden still hasn't announced his pick for attorney general, but it better be somebody great. And finally, I guess we can add masochist to the list of Trump's mental disorders. Donald Trump's campaign. Wait a minute, he still has a campaign? The election was over 8 weeks ago and he lost. All right, I'm just reading it. The campaign has filed a second suit with the U.S. Supreme Court, this time using a false report from a pro-Trump conspiracy theory website called the Epoch Times, asking the justices to throw out the election results from Wisconsin. I just can't anymore. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler, wishing you and your family and friends and everybody around us a much happier 2021 and saying good riddance to 2020. Happy New Year, everyone, and good luck to us all. I think we're going to need it.